Hey, good morning. Merry Christmas. A couple announcements on the 24th. That's going to be this Thursday at 6 o'clock. We're doing a candlelight service. It's going to be a little worship, a little reading of scripture, and a whole lot of fun. So if you guys are around on the 6th of this Thursday, come on out. Bring a friend. We'll obviously have enough room and for everybody. Make sure we're social distancing in here the best that we can or whatever. I don't know. Don't come with COVID. So also, too, Wednesday nights for the ladies are canceled this Wednesday night. And I think the next Wednesday night for Christmas and New Year's. And then picking back up after that. And the gifts for the Salvation Army that you guys took last week, thank you guys for bringing it back. You guys are going to bless a bunch of kids. They're going to be stoked. And we're going to be getting those off today. If you forgot your gift or something, get with us if you weren't able to fill out that tag at the store. And maybe we can come along and help and get that thing filled up so these kids can get blessed this Christmas. Also, to NA, Friday nights at 7:30, that's going good. So if you're around, check that out with Shawnee and Jeremy. All right, let's get into the Word. If you got your Bibles, let's head on over to Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to be at this morning. And it was at this time last year. So in case you haven't noticed, I've added a little bit of weight. It's okay. I don't care. I don't get too caught up on it, but I know it's there. And but it was this. It's always around the holidays I kind of get a little bigger. And this time last year, Samantha, My youngest daughter, who's now like 20-something, she was over at the house last year, and she says, "Dad, you need to start doing some sit-ups." And because, you know, sit-ups ain't going to fix me, right? You guys know that. I need a little more in sit-ups. But I was up to the challenge, and so I started doing some sit-ups, and she's like, yeah, she had just started going to the gym. And, you know, when you're in your 20s, you don't need to worry about diet. You're already in shape. And so she's banging out some sit-ups, and I'm banging them out. And she goes, no, you got to start twisting like this when you're doing them. Start twisting side to side so you can work those obliques, right? And so I'm just like, psh, 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 Rocky all the way, right? I'm just like, her old man's like getting it. And the next day I woke up and I couldn't get out of bed. I had jacked my back up so bad. I promise you, if you've got back problems, I never understood until I did those sit-ups. It was such a bad, excruciating pain that I seriously thought I was going to start weeping if I got out of bed. It was about 3 in the morning, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I realized as soon as I went to get out of bed, there was this pain that was so bad. I had my cell phone right there, and I was like, man, do I text Vicky? Because she stays up all night, and she's out in the living room. I'm like, do I tell my wife to come in and help me, or... And I literally flopped and crawled out of bed and got to the bathroom, went back to bed. And for about 2 weeks, I was so jacked up that I couldn't do anything. I was sleeping on the couch. And, you know, you're getting older when people are buying you like cases of Bengay and a machine. You know, those machines on Amazon that stimulate your back. And I'm starting to get all of those things. And, man, it was just the most worst thing. I don't know. Have you ever had a bad back or like had that kink in your neck you can't get out of, and it's just no matter what kind of medicine you take or no matter therapy you do, you're just jacked up with your back or neck or your shoulder. You know, but with all of that stuff, praise God that sometimes those things go away. But what you're going to see in Luke chapter 13 is that there's a woman that's suffering from immense back pain. So bad, she's bent over. In fact, the scriptures say that this girl is doubly bent over in her back. And the author, we know, is Luke, right? And he's a doctor. And Luke's all about medicine, therapy, whatever you got to do to fix it, right? And we should be too, because sometimes Christians get just like, oh, you know, let's just pray about it and not go to the doctor, and then you're dead like in the next day, right? So like we wanna pray and proceed, right? We wanna go to the doctor, we wanna do what's right. God bless Luke, he's a physician and he is all about that type of healing, and so we need to be too. But this particular situation isn't a physical issue. It's manifesting itself in a physical issue, but it's a spiritual one. And something that we got to get straight about this girl is she's not possessed, she's oppressed. This is a daughter of Abraham. This is a woman that's got faith. This is a good woman who's lived a really hard, hard life. And Jesus shows up on the scene at church. They're going to be at church. And she's been living with this situation for 18 years. Job was oppressed, wasn't he? Afflicted. You guys remember Job and his wife? And she's like, why don't you just curse God and die? And I started thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? I probably would want to just die if I was married to you. Like, if that's, it's like, if you're going to, like, encourage me when I'm banged up, curse God and die, I'm out. Like, I just, go ahead, kill me now. I don't want to be around you anyway. You're a total downer. How about get help, right? Or God's going to hook you up or something. But she's like, hey, curse God and just give up the ghost and die. And so there's a situation that's going on in her back, kind of like Paul in 2 Corinthians when he had that thorn in his flesh, right? He wasn't possessed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And what did he say? He said, God told him that my power is made perfect in your weakness. There's an old preacher. His name was Philip Brooks. And he said, I don't pray for a lighter load, but I do pray for a stronger back. In other words, if I've got to go through this, I need some strength to get it done, right? Amen? And so this is the situation, this woman that we're going to find her in chapter 13 when she gets her healing. Chapter 13, verse 10, let's start there. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now when it says behold, it means look at this girl. Look at this woman as an example. So it's like he's holding her up. Behold, check this out. Because what's going on in her life is going on in yours too. And he says, behold, this woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But Jesus saw her, and he called to her and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on a Saturday. It's like a Sunday for us, because teaching the word's important, right? That's why we go verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, whatever, because we need the word of God. We need to have a healthy understanding of who God is. And so Jesus was about it, and so were we, and so are we. That's why we do what we do. And so he's teaching in the synagogue, which kind of surprised me, because if you guys notice, every time it says he was in the synagogue, the next verse is he was getting in trouble, right? How many times did Jesus go to church and get in trouble? The first message he ever preached, they were trying to throw him off of a cliff. Now, I've given some bad sermons, but no one's ever tried to take me out of the church and put me into the street. But they were trying to throw him out on his first sermon. And this is his last time. Make a little note. You're not going to see Jesus in church again after this. The persecution is getting so hot around Christ at this particular time that he can't even go into church anymore, and you're not going to see him in church anymore. Because they're after him as he's getting ready to go down to Jerusalem for the last 6 months of his life. And so now he can't even get into church anymore. And so Jesus, he gets in trouble this time because he's going to help a woman, and the Bible says had a spirit of infirmity. She's sore all over. She hurts. This girl is next level pain. When it says she had a spirit of infirmity and she was bent, it meant that she was literally like this, double bent over. Now, we can read her story and just kind of go to the next verse, but let's hit the brakes for a minute. For you ladies, do you understand what it would have been like to be a woman with long hair or hair at all? When you're bent over, I mean, just try to walk around for like an hour like this, literally like this, and her hair would have been in the dirt. The only thing she'd see is manure and feet and dirt. She was so sore. There was in her life, she had all these pains and these aches. And she, I think about when she'd eat or she'd swallow, she'd have to fall on her side and chew on the ground to get the food, to get the water to go down. People looking at this girl like there's something wrong with her. She's cursed, because if God loved this girl, she wouldn't be going through what she's going through. But I'm going to tell you something about her. She's a child of Abraham, and she's got faith, even though she's in the middle of the fight. And this woman is, we see when she's bent over in two, that she could in no way, it says, straighten herself up. Meaning every time this girl tried to get straight, she went straight back down. And that sounds like a couple of people we know, where they've done everything that they can do to straighten up, but it's not enough. And they go right back down. Do you know anybody like that? They try. They work as hard as they can to straighten themselves out, but they can't straighten themselves out. And it was at this particular point when I was reading the scripture that I had a problem. I found out what my problem was with this scripture. Because, you know, sometimes you can read the Bible and just connect to it. But I wasn't connecting. Because when it says she could no way straighten herself out, I wanted it to say she tried and it worked. Because when you're broke and when you're crooked and when things are bent, the only thing that works is more work, right? No, it doesn't. You can work as hard as you can on that marriage, but you know, sometimes it just don't work. We've got connections with our kids that are broke. And you don't always get what you put out. Do you feel, you know what I'm saying? You don't always get back the hard work that you work into building that relationship back with your kids. I look at it and I say, man, the more you work, Lord, the more it works. But I'm reminded that that's not the case. And that was my problem with the particular passage that we had, because it said she would try, but she couldn't lift herself back up again. Our bad attitudes and thoughts. I mean, as hard as we try to fix the way we think and the attitudes that we have, we can't just work harder and they get always better. I mean, just go to, you know, Walmart when they've got one cashier. And you want to have a positive attitude. You wake up in the morning, you say, today I made a covenant with my mouth. Lord, I made a covenant with my heart. I'm going to be pleasant. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to love my neighbor. And then you go to Walmart, right? And that whole covenant you just made with God and the whole promise, I'm going to be good. I'm going to have positive attitude. I'm going to say hi to everybody I meet. I've got no strangers. But man, once things get difficult and rough, all of that stuff goes out the window, because hard work doesn't always work, and she knows that and she sees it. But the one thing that teaches us, if it teaches us anything, is that no matter how crooked and life and bent up it gets, the Lord can always straighten it all out. Amen. The woman has not been straight for a long time. I did some math because I got a calculator. 18 years. Check this out, 936 weeks, 6,570 days, 157,000 hours she was in that position to where she is bent over. And we're talking about our back for a week. 157,600 hours. This woman is bent over. But you know what got my attention? It says that she lived like that for 18 years, but yet she still managed to make it to church on Saturday. And I started thinking about this girl, because I would have told her, just stay home, we're online. Right? Don't worry about it. If anybody gets a pass because you're not feeling good, check it out. You get the pass. Don't worry about it. You don't got to be here. It's okay. There's other resources available. But you know what? There's times where I don't feel like coming to church. I know it sounds weird, but there's just, you don't always wake up in the mood, hallelujah, it's Sunday, I'm going to church, I can't wait to get there, get out of my way, I'm going to break the law to get there, I just can't wait, it's Sunday. But sometimes you guys got to remember, and what we see in this woman is, when we don't feel like being here, that's when you got to be here the most. Because there's going to be times where we just don't feel up to coming to church. You get in a fight with your husband on the way. I know that doesn't happen. I'm just making like chit chat. But you know, you can get in a fight on the way here. Everything's cool. But man, once you guys get in the car, something happens and then you got the argument on the way to church. Or you're tired from working hard all week, right? We got jobs. We're dealing with a lot of stuff. Or maybe the foosball's on TV. But there's all this stuff in our life that will just get in the way of it. But the more that we don't feel like coming is the more that we need to be here. And I think there's been so many times that I didn't feel like coming that, man, I was so thankful that I did. I was so blessed because of coming. And part of the problem with church that we're seeing with all of this isolation is people aren't coming back yet. And I feel so bad about it because there's people who are bent, they're crooked, they're going through a difficult time in life. And if they would just get in the house of God with some brothers and sisters that pray for each other, that get into worship, that take communion, that hear the word, if they would just come in when they're not feeling like coming in, they're going to leave feeling blessed because they did. Because God's got a word for us. That's how he does stuff. He wants to encourage us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to build us up as a body. And you know what? Church is the place to get it. It's not the only place, but it's definitely, we need to be in the house of God even when we don't feel like being in the house of God. Man, we want to help people worship through their warfare. We want to help people struggling. We want to come alongside each other. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. We want to be there. And so this girl, after 18 years, she's still in church, even when she doesn't feel like it. And we want to be like this girl. She's shuffling into church hurt. She's shuffling into church, people looking at her. She's shuffling into church, people knowing her story. But as she's shuffling in, she says, I'm still going, I'm still going to show up because it means something to me. God had been working in her spiritual situation, even though her physical one wasn't worked out, right? He had to. How are you that jacked up for 18 years and you're still going into the house of God and you got that much hope? See, here's our problem. If God's not answering the prayer in 2 days, we lose hope. If God isn't making a way when there's been no way for a week, for a month, we're out. 18 years, this girl kept shuffling into church, ready for a miracle, ready to hear a word from the Lord. This girl was like, I'm coming to church. We don't want to let our problems get in the way of coming to church. And so what happened when she went? Luke tells us that in that verse, Jesus saw her. I love that. Jesus saw her. She was so messed up, she couldn't see him. And I love that about the Lord. That no matter how messed up we are and we can't see the Lord in our situation, Jesus sees us. Jesus goes after her. She didn't push through the crowd. She didn't send a text. She didn't send a friend. When Jesus saw her, he called her to come to him. And I think sometimes people can be so broken and hurt that they can't even see Jesus. But that doesn't mean Jesus can't see them. God sees. He knows her story. It said 18 years. How did he know it wasn't 15? Because he knows every detail about our situation. He knows every detail about your life, every secret you've never told nobody, every hurt that you got that you couldn't tell somebody to help you pray about. He knows the story. 18 years, not 15. He didn't get it mixed up because he knows us. This girl comes in after 18 years and Jesus sees her. And that spoke to me so much because you know what? People have an eye for things. I don't have an eye for painting. And that's why they don't let me do it anymore around here. There was a time I had some authority. I remember one time when they asked me, hey, what color? I said I wanted to paint this other church we were in. And they let me have the credit card, and they said, go for it. And I got some kind of purples and browns and yellows, and I did this surfer thing, and they were not happy with it. They were like, who gave this guy the card, right? It was Tammy. And I've never had that privilege to paint again. I don't get to pick nothing out because I don't have that kind of eye. Now, Sydney does, and Tammy does, but this pastor doesn't. And that's okay. I don't have an eye for it. But you know what we need to have an eye for is the hurting, is the struggling, right? Jesus had an eye for hurt people. And he wants us to have an eye for people who struggle and who are hurting. Right now, it's pretty messed up out there. You guys know it. And I think sometimes when we have an eye for the hurting and we look at people, we're like, what can I do? Have you ever seen somebody's situation and you're like, this is beyond me. I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. We see people on Facebook and they're like, man, my dad's got this disease or my mom's got that or pray for my child. And you're going through Facebook, right? And you see these posts and you're looking at it and you're like, what can I do? I can't do nothing about this. But you can pray. You can stop that scroll on Facebook. And if you see somebody there, you don't even have to know because you guys know you don't know your friends on Facebook anyway, right? You guys got 5,000 friends and you know two of them. But when you're scrolling through and you see that, hey, stop, you can pray. When somebody's hurting, you can come alongside of them and listen to them, right? We've always said that, man, sometimes we can't fix everything, but we can sure listen to everything. And we can be around them. God's got this eye to the sick and to the struggling. He sees this woman. He sees her infirmity. And he takes a minute and he hits pause and he's going to give her some rest. And we need to do the same thing. You know, people need a ride to church. Do you got a car? Hey, thank God. Hey, listen, pick them up. Say, let's go. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you to church. There's things that we can have an eye for. Maybe we know of a family that's got kids that's struggling this year. We can get involved. We need to have the eye, though. We've got to have the eye. We've got to be watching. Proverbs 19:7 says, whoever lends to the poor lends to God. That means lends a helping hand, lends a few dollars, lends an ear to listen. And I'm so proud of our little church for everything you guys did for those kids out there for Salvation Army. When you lend to God, when you lend to people like that, the Bible says you're lending to God. And it may not, maybe you didn't get in on that tree. But I am so proud of you because I believe in my heart, I really do, that you guys are going out there and you're sacrificing for other people right now that are less fortunate than you. I believe that about you. And I want you to know that's a word from God that he says when you lend to them, you lend to him. And he's pleased with it. And so now it says, now in verse 12, check this out. Jesus says, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. I love that term, immediately, that she was loosed. Luke's a doctor. And so when he says, when he's talking about this story, and Jesus said loosed, Luke took it upon himself to use a word that had a picture to it. And I hope I don't mess this up and make it weird, but have you ever bought biscuits in a can? And you know how you unwrap them? And then you're unwrapping it and you're waiting for the boom, right? It's kind of like the Jack in the Box. See, I hate that. I hate biscuits because they scare me. I don't know. It's like a shotgun. It's like going to kill me with the dough. Bam. Does anybody get freaked out about, you know, only a couple more turns and you know what's going to happen? When it says, Jesus said, woman, you're loosed, it was a medical term that meant that when somebody had something broke and they had wrapped the cast around it or the tissue or whatever, and that healing time had happened and they went and they cut that thing open, it popped. Boom! The bandages off. In other words, this woman came straight up. Bam! in front of everybody. She was loose like a can of biscuits busting straight open. Did I make the connection? All right. Praise God. Hey, give the Lord glory, because I was a mess on that one. I was trying to figure out how the biscuits worked. But that's the way it was. It was a pop. And this girl got straight up in front of everybody. Jesus had healed her just like that. He touched her and he made her new, made her straight. And this church is filled with people that can say, I came to the Lord and I was bent, crooked, and torn up. And immediately he changed my life. He changed my outlook. He changed my thoughts. Listen, I'm not saying we're perfect yet, but what I am saying is whoever's in Christ is a new creation. And we had that experience where God had taken us out of our old life and immediately brought us into something new, just like that popping of that woman's back. You were loosed. I remember that when I was running crazy, I was just talking to Susie. I mean, I didn't get saved really and start going after the Lord until I was 35 years old. And you're like, Jason, how can that be? Because you only look like you're 36, right? But I'll tell you what. When Jesus got a hold of me, it was a can of biscuits popping. Everything changed. I'm not joking. I told the church I was at, I said, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to set up a tent on the outside of the corner in Toledo. I'm not even joking. I told the pastor this. I said, I'm going to be teaching on Friday nights. I didn't know the word. I mean, I was just going to teach though and see what happened. But he saw something and he knew I was serious. If I had to go, I was looking for tents at the Salvation Army and Goodwill before they tore that place down. Because I was going to go set it up, and I was just going to, man, if there's a corner and I can do it, I'm going to do it on Friday night. And they say, hey, well, wait a minute, let's get you a building. But there was that immediate, do you guys remember that time when you gave your life to Jesus and you said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done, and he changed everything? This woman, it was immediate for this woman in her healing. And you would have thought that the natural response of the ruler would have been, I don't know, maybe turn on some Def Leppard on Pandora and be like, yeah, let's party. This is going to be great. Nope. But instead, this is the part of the story where you hear that wah, wah, wah. This guy is so bitter and so messed up, and we're going to close out with this guy right now. But he doesn't rejoice. He's not excited about her blessing. He doesn't come alongside of her and say, man, isn't God good? And it's a terrible thing that where you're bitter at somebody else's blessing. That's why you guys need to stay off of Instagram. Let's check verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on one of them, but not on the Sabbath day. The religious guy in the synagogue is angry. He's the ruler. He's like the pastor. He's running things in the church, and he's upset. What could cause him being so upset? That Jesus healed this woman on the wrong day. And we know that this is a technicality in their law. They're legalistic. Really quick, check this out. The Jews, God gave us how many laws? Do you remember? It's easy, right? 10. And so it was good stuff, right? It was don't kill anybody, even if you're mad at them. Like, just stay away from that. You know, don't go sleeping around on your husband. That's not hard. Or fellas, don't go sleeping around on your wife. And don't go ripping people off. Because these are things that God gave us to give us life. Because guess what? If you're not sleeping around, if you're not ripping people off, if you don't have to lie about everything that you ever did to keep every story straight, you're going to have life. And so what God did is he put up a fence around earth. It's like a big yard, and he put this fence up. And he said, listen, you guys can go buck wild, have fun, do what you want. You know, I've given you this place, enjoy it, but don't you go hop in that fence. And what they did is they took a fence and then they moved 10 feet in from God's fence. And then they moved 10 feet in again. And then they moved in again and in again and in again and in again 631 times. They moved in again with the fence to where you can't even heal somebody because it's on the wrong day. And Jesus says, that's the wrong frame of mind. And what he does is he does a good thing on the wrong day. And he does it purposefully on a Saturday, which is their church day, when they were not supposed to work. Because he wanted to show the whole point of this day today, us being here, is a day of rest, chilling out, relaxing in the Lord, worshiping God, having fellowship with each other. And what had happened is these people had turned this day into such a mess, they didn't even want to go to church no more. Because it was harder to rest than to work. Can you imagine that? Who's going to want that? And so Jesus deliberately, he knows he's going to get in trouble. But hey, can I just tell you, if you didn't know it, it's never the wrong day to do the right thing. Amen? And so Jesus, he's going to heal her on this day on purpose. And so Jesus, after he heals her, the ruler, it says, he says to the crowd, he says, go home and be miserable one more day. Like, you can come back any other day. And it didn't matter if they were coming back any other day anyways. They're not going to get healed because this guy's totally creepy. So he's just like, you just need to be miserable one more day. And we got to remember, church needs to be a day of healing where we build each other up, right? And get straightened out. And so this guy shouldn't have told Jesus, this is the wrong thing. He shouldn't have told Jesus, come back another day to somebody who's hurting. He doesn't work that way. If you're hurting and you got Jesus, Jesus doesn't say you need to come back on another time. He wants to deal with that hurt and that pain right now. It says in verse 15, then the Lord answered him and he said, you hypocrite, does not one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond onto the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that Jesus had done. Worship team, come on up. Jesus calls this guy a hypocrite in front of the whole church. And here's why. Because this man is more messed up in his mind and in his heart than this woman is in her flesh. This guy's thinking is so twisted, and you think this woman is doubly bent over? This guy is way crooked in his head and in his heart and in his thinking. And we got to remember that being crooked and bent is not just a physical issue, but it's a heart issue as well. This guy, this ruler, he had everything. He just did. This is why they were so prideful. He had an education. He had a good job. He had a good reputation. All of these things on the outside looked like it was put together, and he was in church all the time too. But he never made his way to Jesus. And when Jesus looks at him, he says, hey, you know what? You're a hypocrite. How many of you take care of your animals? And you'll loose them up, but you want this woman to stay bound up because it's the wrong day. God help us when we treat our animals better than we treat people. Be fighting with your spouse, right? And then as soon as you see your dog, you're all talking baby language. Oh, my baby, oh, you baby. Right? While your husband, your wife's over there so mad at you. We take care of our animals. That's a sad thing. God help us for taking care of our animals more than people. what the world would look like if we flip the switch on that. And so Jesus is like, listen, you're crooked and you're bound up, and it's not just a physical issue, it's a heart issue. And the word tells us that this guy, everybody, after Jesus talks to this woman and him, Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. If you would do this to an animal, why would you not do it to a human being, a child of Abraham? And you know what's so cool about that? Again, he's not addressing her physical lineage. This is a daughter of Abraham. You know what he's addressing? Her faith. Because Abraham was the father of faith. And so when Jesus acknowledges this woman, check this out, it's not because she's necessarily a Jew. It's because she's got the mindset that she knows her rights as a child of God, and that she's got the right to be healed. She's got the right to have life. She's got the right to have God intervene in her infirmity and make all things new, because she's a child of Abraham. She's got faith. It's not lineage, it's faith. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says. So you don't have to be a Jew to have faith. You know, if you don't know your rights, the devil's going to walk all over you. And he acknowledges her and he says, woman of faith, daughter of Abraham. And as I was reading this story and I was asking the Lord, what does he want to tell us? And I really believe this is the word that he wants to tell us today. That no matter how crooked or bent we get in our life, there's nothing that can't get straightened out because of our Lord. Nothing. And so would you guys stand with me? I want to pray with you guys this morning. And I want to just talk to the person, maybe online. I don't know, maybe here at church today. And you got it all together. Maybe you got the education, you got the job, you've got the respect, you've got popularity. When people see you, they think you're the epitome of how somebody should live and be, and that you're straightened out. But your heart and mind is a crooked, bent over mess. You know, God wants to come and give you a new heart. He wants to take out that heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. But we got to remember, we got to come to Jesus for it. This guy had come to church. He was in church every single weekend. The man's in church, but he's still bent in his thinking and crooked in his life, although nobody else knows it. God says, if you come to me, I'll take out that heart of stone. I'll put you in a new heart of flesh. New thoughts, new attitudes. A change inside of you. And also, too, I just want to talk to the one that's here today, and maybe you're just breaking down. You're bent over. You know what it's like to go to church. You know what it's like to hear the word. You come all the time, but you need a special touch from Jesus today. This woman needed a touch now. And God wants to give it to you. He wants to put that hope back in your heart that you've lost. Over your body, too. You know, there's people in here today, and once you hit 35, you're not getting any stronger. Wake up and we're sore and we're afflicted with physical issues, and you're like, God, I hate being weak. I don't like my body feeling like this. I don't like waking up like this. I don't like having to be dependent like this. I'm tired of this. And I want to speak some encouragement to you. Nothing has brought more strength in my life with the Lord than weakness in my life, right? Because when you've got nothing but the Lord, that's all you need. And what did God say to Paul? He says, my power is made perfected in your weakness. And all this, although this outward body is perishing inward, this inward man's getting built up day by day. Amen. So, Father, we love you, and we just come to you this morning, standing on your word today, God. Lord, that no matter how crooked things are, whether they're in our heart or our mind, how twisted we think, attitudes that we have, Lord, this is the time that we can come to church and not just come to church, but come straight to you, God. This ruler never did it. We don't see him ever just acknowledging you and saying, you're right. I'm a hypocrite. You're absolutely right. I'm telling everybody how they should live, and I'm going to church and I'm doing the thing, but it's, you're right, I'm a hypocrite. He could have been healed. So, Father, I pray for those that their heart is all twisted up, bent out of shape, God, that right now they just hear your word impressed upon them that you want to heal them. You want to give them life, Lord. Father, and even now as they repent and they submit to you, Lord, that you breathe in a fresh breath of life into them right now, God. And Lord, for my brothers and sisters that are here today and their bodies are hurting and physically not feeling the strongest as they've ever been before, Lord, and they're hurting, to remember that your grace is sufficient, that your power is perfected in weakness, God. And Lord, sometimes, I mean, there's just no denying it. We're in this life, Lord, but as that one pastor said, we're not praying for a lighter load, but a stronger back. God, strengthen us. Make us stronger than we've ever been before, even though we may be breaking down on the outside, that you're developing in us on the inside, using us, Lord, that people would look at us and say, what are they doing rejoicing, God, in that situation? Yeah, let us be a light like that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We love you. We thank you for your birth during this time of Christmas, Lord. Emmanuel with us, not above us, not outside of us, but right here with us. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. And the church said, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.